the energy, indeed the explosiveness of Jesus' gospel confounded not only his enemies, but also his friends. Notice in this passage, it is not one of the disgruntled religious hierarchy who comes to Jesus complaining that he has ignored yet another long-standing religious tradition. No, it is one of the disciples of John. John the Baptist, who comes to him very puzzled to ask, "We fast, our enemies, the Pharisees, fast, but your disciples don't fast. What gives?" Jesus says, "Think of my coming as inaugurating a banquet, a wedding feast, and think of me as the groom. The disciples are my invited guest. No one fasts at a wedding. It would dishonor the festivities. It would dishonor the groom. The disciples can't fast. They must celebrate with me the banquet that I have inaugurated." But then Jesus serves notice to his enemies and his friends that the energy, the explosiveness of his newness is going to affect far more than just the superficial religious act of fasting. He said to John's disciples, "Think of me, think of my gospel as new and unshrunk cloth. If you had a tear in an old coat, you wouldn't patch it with new and unshrunk cloth, because you know as soon as you washed it, that cloth would shrink and rip the fabric to shreds. If you were making wine, you wouldn't put that new wine in an old calcified wineskin, because you know as soon as the wine begins to ferment, it's going to rip that wineskin apart, explode. That's the new and explosive power of my gospel." People say that Jesus was crucified because they didn't understand his message. That's exactly wrong. They very much understood his message. They very much understood the implications of it. They realized he was going to rip the fabric of their society apart. He was going to affect everything, the relationship between men and women, between slaves and their masters, between Jews and Gentiles. He was going to obliterate all of the boundaries that everyone was accustomed to observing. They didn't kill him because they didn't understand him. They killed him because they recognized that the word he was bringing was too explosive for them. They couldn't understand that what he was saying was an expression of the will of God. They thought it indeed was in opposition to the will of God. And so they put him to death. Matthew is a Jew writing to Jews. He is trying to convince the Jewish people Jesus is indeed the long-awaited anointed one. He is the Messiah long foretold by prophecy. He is the new and improved, the greater Moses. But he is also writing to his people to say, be prepared, Jewish Christians, to begin to expand your concept of family. Christ's gospel is energetic and it is explosive. You're going to have to make room for the women to come into the family as full partners. You're going to have to make room for the slaves to come in and sit and worship as equals with their masters. You're going to have to make room for the Gentiles, the pagans, because Christ has obliterated all divisions between us. We may not like it. It may take a while to get used to, but such is the explosive power, the energy of Christ's new word. We are the beneficiaries of that explosive and energetic power. The wedding banquet continues. Indeed, on this day, the banquet is being celebrated all the way around the world. This is World Communion Sunday. So that Christians in every nation, speaking every language, worshiping in every style, coming from every culture, are gathered around this table just as we are. And we celebrate the fact that our Lord and His gospel breached all boundaries, leaped all barriers, obliterated all distinctions, and became a gospel that spoke to the hearts of people in every single nation. On this morning, people of every color, of every language, of every national tradition, of every culture and worship style, we're gathered around this table to celebrate the love, the sacrificial love of our Lord for us. I once heard a technological guru make the statement that the fomenters of one revolution were destined to resist the next. I suspect there's a lot of truth in that observation. But our Lord is raising up in every generation new prophets, new voices, new creative minds to continue to express the energy and explosiveness of the gospel. When we gather around this table, we gather in kinship with Christians around this globe because the explosive power of Christ is also unitive. And Christ has made us all one. One. And so we gather in gratitude. We gather in celebration. We gather as wedding guests. But let us remember this. We're not only meant to celebrate the energy and explosiveness that the new has come. We are also meant to embody it. May we keep that thought in mind as we share in this table on this day. Paul wrote to his friends, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Having heard those words that commemorate what happened on that night, I issue you an invitation to participate in this table. I remind you, it's certainly not Dr. Krimmer's table. It's not even the table of Vineville Baptist Church. It is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who claims and confesses Christ as Savior is invited to partake and participate and celebrate as family with us.